Please join with me for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, what a blessed opportunity it is to come to this Thy house to meet together, we trust, with Thy felt presence and in the presence and company of one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank Thee, O Lord, for the opportunity of being here. We pray that Thy Spirit might be with us this morning as we've now entered into the, as we're about to enter into the preaching and hearing of Thy Word. We pray that Thy Spirit might manifest Himself in our midst, that we may, and bless us, that we may worship Thee in spirit and in truth, and that Thou and Thy Son Jesus Christ might get honor and glory unto Thyself, and that Thy people may be strengthened and edified. I thank Thee for the church here. I thank Thee for their continual service, and pray that Thy richest blessings might abide with them in every way. Bless, we pray, others who've asked an interest in prayer, those on the prayer list here, and forgive us of our sins, we humbly ask, in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen. I invite your attention this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 5, and verse 1. Again, the book of Romans, chapter 5, and verse 1. And this verse of Scripture reads, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I'll read that again. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This verse of Scripture, among other things, teaches us that we are justified by faith. Now, the word justified is translated from a word which means to render or show righteous. That is, again, it means to render or to show righteous. Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, we have another, the word justified is in this verse of Scripture also. Again, Romans chapter 5, verse 9. And it reads, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." All right, but I remind you again that the word justified means to render or to show righteous. And the word render is a word that means to make righteous or to declare righteous. Now, remember that. Either to make righteous or to declare righteous. And it reminded me, as I was trying to study for this, what Jesus said, the sixth of the seven sayings on the cross. The sixth one, and in the middle of John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus said these three words, "It is finished." It is finished. And I, among other things, Jesus was saying by that, that the work of redemption is finished. The penalty for the sins of my people, those that were chosen in me before the world began, that penalty is now has been paid, and so it is finished in that particular way. And it's an amazing thing. The three words "it is finished" is translated from one Greek word, and that one Greek word is phileo. Phileo. Now it is a word that was used, for instance, if a man was in prison and he had finished his sentence, whether it was 5 years, 10 years, whatever. If he was in prison and he had finished his sentence, then he had papers. And then when he had finished or completed his sentence, his papers would be written with the word over there, phileo. That means the sentence has been satisfied. Or if someone owed a certain amount of money for one reason or another, when that one paid his debt, then the paper that said he owed a certain amount of money is written on there, phileo. That is, he had paid his debt. And with that kind of background in mind, we find that Jesus in Romans chapter 5, in John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus was saying, "It is finished. The penalty has been paid. We are shown righteous by our faith." Now, I want you to notice this. "Therefore, being," that means we are, "justified by faith, we have," present tense, "peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That is, we are shown righteous by our faith. That is the present tense. Look, if you will, in your Bibles. And I'm going to turn over here a number of times. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it tells us about faith. In fact, this entire chapter is about on the subject of faith. It has been called the catalog of the faithful, because there are many different people, many of them unnamed, by the way, that did various things, one thing or another, by faith. And the introduction of this chapter is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't want to discount the expression there, the substance of things hoped for, but what I want to concentrate on just for a few moments is the expression that faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. Alright? We were chosen in Jesus Christ. Well, I never saw anyone, myself or anyone else, chosen in Jesus Christ. Because you see, that was before the world began. That's before our first parents, Adam and Eve, ever existed. So no one, no human being, no mortal human being ever saw anyone chosen in Jesus Christ. That was when only God existed. And so that's something that's not seen. Jesus died for our sins. I wonder, as I was studying and meditating about this, I wonder if John the Apostle and Mary, the mother of Jesus, when they were there part of the time, when Jesus was dying on the cross, if they had the thought, well, Jesus is dying for my sins. They may have, but they have not. But the idea was that no one, I don't think, has ever seen the fact that Jesus died for their sins. We believe it by faith, by the way, but we've never seen that. We'll be in heaven at the resurrection. I've never seen that. But I think more than anything else, when he says that faith is the evidence of things not seen, that is, it's the evidence that we have been born of the Spirit of God. Faith, again, is the evidence that we have been born of the Spirit of God. Believe it or not, I never saw any of you born into this world. But there's no doubt in my mind that you were born into this world because you're here. You're human beings. And so therefore, obviously, you have been born. That's the evidence that you have been born and naturally by your mothers. And so that the same concept is when we see faith or other spiritual attributes in any human being, that's the evidence that God has touched their lives and they have been born of the Spirit of God. And so, that, again, that's the evidence that we have been born of the Spirit of God. Look at verse 3 in Hebrews chapter 11, and it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That is, God just spoke them into existence. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That is, God created the heaven and the earth. God did it alone, and God just simply spoke it into existence. All right? We believe in divine creation by faith, brothers and sisters. Some can never believe it because they do not have faith. And because faith is a part of the fruit, and faith is a part of the fruit of the Spirit, which is found, those nine qualities of the fruit of the Spirit are found in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. And so, because they don't have faith, they don't have that part, they don't have the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, because they have not been born of the Spirit. Now, there are people that maybe don't believe in divine creation. That doesn't mean they have faith, but they just simply don't believe that part of the teaching of the Word of God. But by faith, we believe that God created the heaven and the earth. No one saw the creation. I wonder, as I was studying about this, I wonder if God and Adam had any thoughts about the fact that God created that. It was the world. When he got here, he was the last thing created. There were trees, there were animals, there was grass and shrubs and all kinds of things that were there. But I wonder if Adam had any thought whatsoever that God created that. I don't know. The scriptures don't tell us whether he did or not. But the fact is that no one saw the creation. It was done when the first man got here. The scriptures, as you know, in Genesis 1 to teach divine creation. And we can only believe in the Scriptures, that the Scriptures are the Word of God simply by faith. Alright? What is faith? It is the fruit of the Spirit and is the evidence of God's work in our lives and not the cause of it. We need to always remember that. Alright. Our text. Well, I'm going to come back to Hebrews chapter 11. But our text in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Because the first word in that verse of Scripture is therefore. And therefore is a word that connects with what is previous, or the near context which precedes it, and the near context which follows the word therefore. I remember a Christian minister on the radio, and I listened to that practically all the time while we're in the automobile, unless we just can't do that because we don't have a station and so forth. But nevertheless, one of those ministers would say, what is therefore? Therefore. So, we need to know why therefore is there. Alright. There is a connection, as I mentioned just a moment ago, with the preceding word. And that is, look at the last verse of Romans chapter 4. Remember again, our text was Romans chapter 5, verse 1. So we look at the last verse of Romans chapter 4, which is verse 25. And it says, referring to Jesus by saying, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. That is, Jesus died for our sins. And he rose again in our stead. Excuse me. I thought that word a minute, and then all of a sudden couldn't get it out. As I get younger, then that's what happens. But nevertheless, Jesus died for our sins, and then rose from the dead on our behalf. And let me just say concerning this, he was the firstborn from the dead. I don't know if any of you are math teachers or not, but listen, you can't have a first without a second. Any more you can have a second without a first. Since he's the firstborn from the dead, there's got to be a second born from the dead, and that's us, brothers and sisters. We're going to rise from the dead. We may be living when Jesus comes at the resurrection. Of course, I don't know about that. I think the late Elder Charles McClendon had it nailed about as close as anybody that I've ever known when he said, we're closer than we've ever been. And that's all I can say concerning it. Others have said he's coming on a certain day, and that day has come, that day is gone. And he still hasn't come into resurrection. But I tell you, brother and sister, he is coming. And I'll say one thing concerning that. We look at the Old Testament Scriptures and see that God made some promises. And when God made promises, God kept those promises, whether they were to the good of His people or whether they were to the bad of His people. God kept His promises. And we can rest assured, since God has made a promise concerning the resurrection, God will bring it to pass. And thank the Lord for that. And so, listen, brothers and sisters, I maybe ran that one a little bit too long, but the idea is that, listen, Jesus died for our sins, and he rose again at the third day on our behalf. Now, then we get into that text, therefore, being justified by faith. That is, the faith that justified us is not the faith in the law or the keeping of the law, but rather what Jesus did, who he was, the Son of God, among other things, and that he died for our sins, and he rose the third day on our behalf. And so, when we have faith in that faith justifies us. That faith is the evidence that God has done a work in our lives. And we are justified when we believe this biblical truth. That is, even the law. And what I mean by that is, when we say, well, those things under the law, that is the Word of God. And the rest of it is the Word of God also, because the rest of it, some of it anyway, the New Testament, teaches us and confirms that the law had been fulfilled. And look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. And again, going back to John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus said, "It is finished," then all the types and shadows of the ceremonial law had been fulfilled, and they were no longer to be kept. And thank the Lord Jesus fulfilled those. But we're justified when believing biblical truth, especially the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the coming resurrection of the dead. And that is the evidence of God's work in our lives. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, faith is a great blessing. Faith is a great blessing. By faith, we can believe what Jesus did for us. By faith, we can believe that when Jesus died on the cross and redeemed His people from their sins, by faith, we can say, yes, we are one of them. And I'll put it to you this way. When God has been good to us, these things have touched our hearts. And that is a foretaste of those things that God is going to do for us sometime in the future. And thank the Lord for that foretaste we have. We can believe in divine creation, as I mentioned just a little bit earlier. But I'm coming back to this part for this reason. And that is the beauty that we have here of divine creation. And I can imagine what those trees, some of them anyway, are going to look like that in the fall. Well, I want to tell you, as you know, I'm sure, but I'll just remind you that that's not here by chance. The beauty of mountain streams, the beauty of the mountains themselves, the beauty of the leaves, whether here or whether there. And I remember when Kath and I were coming here between here in Stanisville, and we looked out and we saw that beautiful farmland. Listen, that's not here by chance. God created all of that. And I thank the Lord for that. And when we can see and realize that God made that for us, then we thank the Lord for that. He gave us that beauty. And we can glorify God because of His divine creation. I remember a number of years ago, our son Robert, our oldest one, is now 40, but he was less than a year old, if I remember correctly, at that time. And the three of us, there's only three at that time. The three of us and Mom and Daddy went up to the mountains near Clayton. And someone that we knew, Kemper and I, allowed us to stay in their cabin that they had there east of Clayton. But I remember Mama said, when we're looking at all these leaves, she said, "When I see that, I can't help but think of the majesty of God." Mm-hmm. And that's true, brothers and sisters. Think about that. And how it makes us rejoice to know that God made it this way. And God didn't just simply make it functional, but God made it beautiful also. And we can enjoy that beauty along with the function of it. Listen, brothers and sisters, the Old Testament saints look forward to, this is concerning faith, look forward to future blessings. Look again in Hebrews chapter 11. But this time, I want to read verse 13. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. And this reads, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Listen, they look forward to the promises. These, I believe, refer to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God gave them promises. And Jacob obviously got closer to it than his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham. He got closer to that because he and his family went down into Egypt. And when they went down in Egypt, I would tend to think, to some degree, Jacob rejoiced in that. Because he realized that, listen, God said that we were going there. And when God said that we're going there, God will bring us out. But he never saw the nation of Israel being brought out. But he rejoiced in it. He had faith that God would bless them to come out, and they would be in the wilderness for a period of time. And he didn't know how long, but they would be in the wilderness for a period of time, and then after that period of time, they would enter into the land of Canaan. They had not seen them, but they rejoiced in them. They saw them afar off. And not only that, but the ending of those promises came was when Jesus Christ Himself came into the world. And the end of the promises, as it's written to Isaac, and I don't remember which chapter and verse in this time, but God told Jacob, He said, "In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And so, He wasn't talking about His 12 sons,
but another way all down the line, Jesus Christ the Lord. And then when Jesus came, He was preached to the Jews, and then later He's preached to the Gentiles, and I tend to believe that all over this world, maybe there's some pockets where He's not here and there, but all over this world there are those that rejoice in Jesus Christ. I listen to YouTube and various spiritual songs on YouTube, and I looked at one and it says 250 mass choir. And I didn't know a thing about that. I said, but I clicked on that, and guess what? There's people singing, about that many people singing some of the old hymns, and you look at it, they're from India. And they're rejoicing in Jesus Christ, and thank the Lord for that. And so, it is in Jesus Christ that all the families of the earth be blessed. That's the promise that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They never saw them, but they firmly believed that God promised those things, and God would indeed bring those things to pass. Now, concerning the promises, look at the last two verses of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. Again, Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40. And this refers not only to them, but Noah, who's mentioned earlier, and Enoch, that's mentioned earlier, many Old Testament saints that are not even named. But it says, and these all, having obtained a good report of fruit faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What's he saying there? That they through faith, but they received not the promise. They received not the promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, God having provided some better thing for us, better thing. They had good things in the Old Testament time under the law. I remember a number of years ago, I guess it was an association, the late Elder George Daniel preached about, this was his sentence, the good things under the law and the better things under Jesus Christ. Now, that may not be the exact title, but that's what he preached. And the idea, we have something better. They had great things under the law. I remember when they dedicated the tabernacle, and then later on, though, when they dedicated the temple, that the presence of God was so great in both of those occasions that the priests could not fulfill their function. Now, think about that. The glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Did you know, brothers and sisters, I think, again in Hebrews, this chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. That is, what God did in those days, God can do in this day also. But God has something better, has given us something better. He goes on to say that they without us should not be made perfect. That is, they trusted, they looked forward to the coming Messiah. Now that the Messiah has come, now that Jesus Christ has come, and these Jews, such as Paul, who many think wrote the book of Hebrews, along with all the other 11 apostles, who, by the way, were Jews, when those Jews in the first century believed in Jesus Christ, such as those on the day of Pentecost, they were all Jews, if not practically every one of them, if not every one of them, because they were there for a Jewish worship time. Pentecost, Feast of the First Fruits, or the Feast of Tabernacles. That's why they were there, from 13 different nations. And so, when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their faith was confirmed, because those Jews in that day believed in Jesus Christ the Lord. And then, we find that the Messiah came, because we find in the next two verses, Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Remember, wherefore, like therefore, a connection. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so, my brothers and sisters, the Messiah came. And we believe, brothers and sisters, that Jesus that God can bless us to do what we cannot do by ourselves. Look at it. Remind you again. Go back to verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 11, and it reads, "For by it," that is, by faith, "the elders, such as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all these, though some many of them unnamed, Old Testament saints in this chapter, that they pleased God, they got a good report by faith." Now, listen. We can also please God by faith. I think, you know, I'm a sinner. I saw something that a lady that related to me distantly on Facebook wrote, that, if I'm not mistaken, but anyway, I'm almost positive I saw it on Facebook. It said, "I give the Lord many reasons every day not to love me." And I don't remember exactly how it was finished, but it said, "But he loves me anyway." That's true. We are sinners. And in spite of the fact that we are sinners, we can please the Lord. Now, how do we do it? Well, look at verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That's an amazing thing. When it says without faith, it is impossible to please God, that seems to indicate that with faith, it is possible to please God. And when we come to God, we must believe that he is, that he is God, and all the things that the scriptures teach concerning him, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yeah, we're sinners. We're sinners. And we're not going to get around that. But at the same time, we can please God. God, at times, gives us rewards. God gives us rewards. And thank the Lord for that. God blesses us, in spite of the fact that we're sinners. So we're like Jacob. As he prayed one time, he said, I'm unworthy of the least of thy mercies. And we are. Because of our sins. And yet, through Jesus Christ, God loves us. Heaven someday will be our home. And when we pass from this life, listen, there's something special about that. I had a funeral with a brother who was a member of Cedar Creek. And I've been pastor of Cedar Creek, and I wasn't at that time, though, but I was asked to have a part in his funeral. And the Elder Ben Amos also had a part in his funeral. Both of us were his pastors. He was member two Primitive Baptist churches, and Brother Billy was one of his pastors there at Waycross, and I was one of his pastors there at Cedar Creek. But Brother Billy said this concerning the brother. He said, "If we knew where he was, we wouldn't want him back." And listen, brothers and sisters, paradise. That's one of the that's one thing it's called, paradise. When our spirit and soul, when we pass from this life, our spirit and soul goes on to be with the Lord. I remember a number of years ago, someone told me about this scripture, about, it's in Jeremiah, and I don't remember the chapter and verse, about a widow that had seven children. And I said her son had gone down while it was day. And they said that she gave up the ghost, that is, she died. Alright, well, the sun went down while it was yet day. That's a beautiful statement. Do you know that? A beautiful metaphor of death. I mean, it's not necessarily beautiful that someone dies, but it's a beautiful metaphor of death. The sun will go down here sometime today and everywhere else sometime today. But the beauty of it is, while it goes down here or wherever, at the very same moment, it's coming up somewhere else. Now that's the beauty. And so the beauty of it is when a brother or sister, one of the Lord's people, passes from this life, then immediately, just like that, they're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank the Lord for that. And so, brothers and sisters, thank God that we have faith, that God will bring about those things He promised in His Word. Faith, indeed, is a great blessing. And may the Lord help us to walk by faith, trusting that though there are things that I can't do myself, but if God is with me, and if God will bless me, I can do things that I cannot do by myself. God help us to remember that, and God help us to walk by faith in my prayer for Christ's sake.